And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
I can't find it.
Did you peruse the table of contents?
That's what I can't find. I'm going to have to suggest to Dale Jacobs he organize the Odyssey Times a little. Oh, here it is. B7. Mm-hmm.
Did Connie say she was doing well?
Mm-hmm. As well as can be expected, I suppose. Bennett, Fisher, Greg. Ah, there. Kendall, Mildred.
Where?
That column there. Mildred Kendall passed away from heart failure on... Well, you can read it for yourself.
11 lines.
I beg pardon?
11 lines on the obituary page to commemorate the life of Connie's grandmother. The day she was born, the day she died, who she left behind. It doesn't seem right. How can you condense a person's life to 11 lines?
Eugene, I don't think these 11 lines are supposed to be the fullness of Mildred Kendall's life. It's just a marker. A way to tell the people who care that she died, when the funeral will be, and where.
It still seems to me that a person's life should have more to it.
A person's life should, Eugene, and I suppose the funeral service will try to give acknowledgement to her life and love and faith. But this is just a listing in a newspaper.
Is there anything we can do for Connie?
We're sending flowers, making a donation to some of Grandma Kendall's favorite charities, like she asked. And apart from that, the only thing we can do is what we've always done for Connie.
Which is?
Stay close by and be her friends.
I think this is the last of it. I put as much in her suitcase as I could fit. Considering she didn't stay with us very long, she sure brought a lot of stuff. 3 suitcases and 2 boxes.
Yeah. You know, it's like she knew, and she wanted her most precious belongings surrounding her. Did you see this music box?
Mm-hmm. She kept it on her nightstand. Didn't you see it?
Uh-uh. I didn't notice it until I was packing her things up. I don't recognize the song.
Well, I know. We sing it in church sometimes. It's, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Oh. Did you see what she kept inside?
No.
Look at this. One of your baby pictures. Aw. Oh, your dad's and my wedding picture. I think this is your grandfather from World War II. Oh, I'm going to miss her.
Me too.
I guess we should leave everything until your father says what he wants to do with it.
I'll get it. Hi.
Hello. You're Connie, right?
Yeah.
You don't remember me. I'm Reverend Thomas Rowe from your grandmother's church in New York.
Oh, yeah. Mom!
Oh, hi, Reverend. I'm sorry we didn't know for sure you were coming. We could have picked you up at the airport. Come on in.
It's quite all right. I rushed to get on the earliest plane possible. It seemed like I was here before I could call. How are you both?
Oh, we're hanging on, aren't we, Connie?
Yeah. We cry a little, then laugh about something we remember Grandma did or said, and then cry again.
Perfectly understandable. And Bill, how's he?
Oh, we don't know. He's not here yet. In fact,
we're supposed to pick him up at the airport right now.
Oh, no. Oh, care to make a return trip, Reverend?
No, you go on. I'll get checked into the hotel. We can meet later to make arrangements with the funeral home about the service.
Oh, good idea. Now, we'll meet in an hour. You know where it is.
I'll find it.
Oh, and I'm so sorry about this.
Okay. See you later.
Come on.
Oh, take it easy. I'm not built the way I used to be.
Sorry.
Well, hi, Connie. Did I tell you the wrong time?
Well, no. We just got sidetracked, that's all. Is this all you brought with you?
Yeah, I'll just throw it in the back seat.
But it's just a hang-up bag.
Well, I'm not planning to stay after the funeral.
Well, what? You know, we got
the... Hey, you two, come on. We have to go straight to the funeral home.
Oh, yeah, I hope you don't mind.
No, let's go.
Hi, Bill.
Well, hello, June. Sorry you have to go through this.
Through what?
Everything. If my mother had just stayed in New York or moved in with me in April like I wanted...
No, don't be ridiculous, Bill. We were happy to have her with us.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about my mother dying here in Odyssey, that's what.
Oh. We could reschedule the meeting with the funeral home.
Maybe it'd be better if
we... Don't reschedule anything, June. Let's just get this over with, all right? I want to bury my mother and get out of here.
All right, Bill. We're on our way.
Thank you all for coming. Reverend Rowe, as Mildred's pastor, we were all very grateful that you took the time to be with us.
I wouldn't have missed it.
Please let me assure you that Wexford's funeral home prides itself on quality in every detail. We make it a matter
of... That's terrific, Mr. Wexford. What kind of details do we have to decide right now?
Apart from small considerations for the viewing tonight...
Viewing? You mean you're putting her on display?
Oh, don't be so crass, Bill. She's not being put on display. This is a chance for some of the folks around Odyssey who got to know her to pay their respects.
People at my church loved her,
Dad. I don't like it.
Well, it's for us, Bill. Please.
Hi, sorry I'm late.
Well, come in. Come right in. Your timing is perfect. We were about to discuss the funeral service itself. Do you know everyone?
June and Connie, of course.
I'm Bill Kendall.
Oh, hi, Bill. Nice to meet you. I'm George Barkley, interim pastor at Connie's church. I'm terribly sorry about your mother. She was a wonderful woman.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Thomas Rowe.
Oh, Mildred's pastor. She told me about you. It's a pleasure and an honor.
You're too kind.
We were about to discuss the funeral service, George. Mildred didn't give any particular instructions. And Reverend Rowe, I thought that possibly you and Pastor Barkley might be the best qualified to suggest what would be appropriate.
excuse me, but I've been thinking about it a little and... Well, I was hoping I could make a suggestion.
Of course.
You see, Grandma was so strong in her faith and so full of life that I thought maybe we could do something different. I mean, it seems like funeral services are always boring and depressing, and well, I figured that this one should be more like a celebration, you know? We lost her, yeah, but she's home now. She's in heaven with Jesus, and I can't think of anything.
Connie, hold on. If you're thinking that my mother's funeral service is going to be some kind of a party, well, then you're on the wrong track.
Not a party, Dad, but it needs to be more than just a lot of talk about death. I think we ought to balance our loss with heaven's gain. It doesn't have to be sad, but kind of happy in a way.
No offense, sweetheart, but I don't want a pie-in-the-sky service for my mother, okay? I know how you feel, because you're a Christian and all that, but there's nothing to be happy about here. She's dead, and that's a terrible thing.
But she's not just dead. She's alive. She's more alive than she's ever been.
Don't start, Connie. Mr. Wexford, I want a traditional service, you understand?
Yes. Of course, traditional is a very broad expression, Mr. Kendall. That's why we need to discuss...
Bill, I think what Connie's trying to say is
Don't explain it to me, June. I should have figured you'd be on her side. My guess is that you're all on the same side. Hey, come on, let's bring party hats and streamers, okay? Come on, we'll laugh it up because my mother's dead.
Bill,
you know that's not what anyone here wants.
Yeah? Well, why am I even here, huh? You're going to do what you want to do anyway. It doesn't matter whose mother she was.
Mr. Kim.
Why are you getting so upset, Dad? Can we at least talk about it?
There's nothing to talk about. I told you what I want.
Bill, sit down.
I don't want to sit down. You have my vote, but do whatever you want. She's only my mother.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Could I make a suggestion? I think Connie was onto something when she mentioned balance. Maybe we should try for a service that acknowledges the depth of your loss, Bill's loss, but the promise of a joy yet to come for believers.
Oh, do you think you can come up with a service like that?
Well, we can sure try.
So, you haven't seen your father since he left the meeting?
Nope. By some remote chance, he didn't happen to come here, did he?
No. Though I'm not sure I would have recognized him if he had.
Well, I have met the gentleman, and I can say most assuredly that he has not been here.
Thanks, Eugene.
You're welcome, Connie.
You know, I can understand his being upset about Grandma dying, but I don't understand why he got so mad about the funeral service. No wonder he drove Mom crazy.
Well, it's hard to know how people will react to death, Connie. you feel a certain amount of peace about it because you and your grandmother are both Christians. But your father's perspective seems very much what I'd expect from someone who believes in... What does your father believe in?
Nothing, as far as I know.
So for him, death is a big, empty nothingness.
Alas, take it from one who has explored many philosophies of life and death. If he considers death a void, then it may make him wonder if even life itself is a void as well. Few things are more certain to make people search for meaning in their lives than when face to face with the meaning of death.
That's quite profound, Eugene.
Yeah.
And what exactly is your thinking on the meaning of life and death?
Oh, well, for me, the meaning of life and death is, to get back to work on the displays upstairs. See you tonight, Connie.
Oh, is Eugene coming to Grandma's viewing?
Oh, we all are. But we decided not to converge on you all at once. I think Bernard, Tom, and Jason will show up early, and Eugene and I will come later. I'm not sure when everyone else will sprinkle through.
That's so sweet of everybody. Most of you didn't even know my grandma.
Yes, but we know you. And we want to let you know how much we all love you and are praying for you now.
Jack, I don't know which makes me want to cry more. Losing Grandma or how nice everyone's been since we lost her.
Why not all of the above?
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Mary. Oh, people from the church have been bringing food all day. They've been wonderful. Oh, I better put this in the kitchen. Do you want any coffee? Bill? Bill?
Huh? Oh, no thanks. What am I going to do with all of Mom's junk?
Junk? How can you call it junk? Some of these things are priceless.
Well, then why don't you and Connie keep it here for a while? I can't think about this now.
Well, we'd be happy to. Now, Bill...
I don't want to talk about it, June.
We have to talk about it. Now, I think George Barclay's suggestion is the best, a balanced service.
I don't get any of this. What's balanced about somebody dying?
Well, if you believe the way Connie does, it's very balanced. You live, and if you accept Jesus, you die. And that death is merely an entry point to a new life.
Sounds great, but if you believe the way Bill Kendall believes, you live and you die, and the people you leave behind spend years trying to get over losing you.
Is that true? Will you?
Will I what?
Spend years getting over this.
How am I supposed to know? I've only had a couple of days to think about it.
All right. Now, don't get yourself worked up.
None of this makes any sense to me. Look what she kept. I mean, she still has this music box.
Where'd she get it?
Oh, I bought it for her. She saw it at a store somewhere and loved it. She couldn't afford it, so I went back and bought it for her later. Such a plain box. I could have picked her up something really nice for what this cost. I don't even know what the song is.
It's a hymn. Did you put the inscription on the bottom, too?
What inscription?
Here, look.
From Bill. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19. In my prayers that you might find true treasure. What in the world does that mean? What's this 1 Timothy stuff?
I don't know. I was going to ask Connie to look it up. It's a book in the Bible.
Figures. I didn't put that inscription there, and I don't have the slightest idea of what it means.
Well, maybe you should find out.
And maybe I should get out of here for a while. All this stuff is making me batty. I'm going for a walk or something.
You're not running away again, are you?
Why are you asking me that? Why does everybody think I'm running away?
Everybody? Bill, I only...
I'm going out, all right? That doesn't mean I'm running away!
We're going to need every door in Odyssey fixed before he leaves.
Well, any sign of Dad yet?
No. Though considering his frame of mind, I won't be surprised if he doesn't come at all.
Good evening, Connie. June.
Hello, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
I'm sorry to be so late, but I stayed to close up Witt's End. Jason had to go to Chicago for some kind of meeting with Witt's company. Sends his respects.
Thanks. Oh, and thanks for the flowers. They're beautiful.
You're welcome. Your grandmother looks very nice. She could be sleeping.
Yeah. Did Eugene come with you?
Mm-hmm. He's in the hall talking about obituaries with the funeral director.
That figures.
Has everyone else already been here?
Pretty much everyone I expected. Except one.
Oh, who's missing?
My dad.
Oh.
Bill's not known for his punctuality.
Would you like me to try to find him? I could make a few calls, check the hotel.
Oh, no, it's all right. Nobody said he had to come tonight.
Good evening, Connie. Mrs. Kendall.
Hi, Eugene.
Hey, did you get all your questions answered by Mr. Wexford?
Oh, indeed. We were discussing the historical development of necrology and its impact on Etruscan archaeology.
Eugene.
Yes, sir?
A little sensitivity, huh?
Oh, of course. I didn't mean to
offend
anyone.
It's okay, Eugene. Somehow it wouldn't be right if you didn't turn even this into an academic exercise.
I'm very sorry, really. Perhaps I should just sit in the car?
Oh, relax, Eugene. Just don't analyze the details when you go up to pay your respects.
I wouldn't dream of it.
It's getting late, Eugene. Shall we pay our respects?
Yes. We'll see you in the morning, Miss Kendall and Mrs. Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
The service is at 10 o'clock, right?
Right. Reverend Rose spoke to you about reading scripture?
Yes. It'll be an honor.
Thanks.
Well, it doesn't look like your father's going to make it.
Ladies?
Mr. Wexford.
Mr. Kendall has arrived.
Oh, good. Where is he?
In my office with Reverend Rowe. I think you should come right away.
Oh, Bill, why did you do this? Why are you even here?
I came to view my mother. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
Not in your condition, you won't.
What's wrong with my condition?
You're drunk is what's wrong. Are you staying at the hotel? I'll take you back.
Where is he?
Dad.
Oh, hi, kids. You going to escort me in?
Mom, what's wrong with him? Has he been...
Yes, he has. The word soused comes to mind. I'm trying to persuade him to come quietly back to the hotel.
I want to go home with you two.
Oh, Bill, what's happened to you?
I am grieving the loss of my mother the best way I know how. You do it by having happy funerals, and I do it by trying to forget.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly are you trying to forget?
That would be telling now, wouldn't it?
What would you like to do? We can't take him inside.
Oh, his things are still in our car. I don't think he ever checked into the hotel. We'll take him home.
We will?
Yes, he can stay in the guest room.
I want to go in first. I want to see my mother.
You'll see her tomorrow. People are in there paying their respects, and you wouldn't want them to see you like this, would you?
Like what?
Bill, we're going home.
I've made a mess of it all, haven't I? My marriages, my life, I couldn't even see my mother before she died. I ruined everything.
If you two gentlemen don't mind helping to guide Mr. Kendall to the car, I...
No, of course we don't.
Oopsie-daisy.
Wait. Will I see her tomorrow?
Of course you will.
Good. Look, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Really sorry.
That's right. We're all sorry. The car's this way.
That's enough, thanks.
Feeling better?
Not really. I feel like somebody stuck my head in a large drum and started beating it with sledgehammers.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what you get for drinking. Why don't you just tell me what's going on, Bill, before we get to the funeral and you're tempted to make a fool out of yourself?
Oh, I won't make a scene. Do whatever you want at the funeral service. I'll be a kitten, I promise.
Mm-hmm, meaning that you won't tell me what your problem is.
I'd rather not.
Well, suit yourself. But something tells me you'll be better off saying what you have to say now.
I'll take that chance.
O God of grace and glory, we remember today our sister, Mildred. We thank you for giving her to us.
Job 19. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God.
1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. My brothers, we do not want you to remain in ignorance about those who sleep in death, and we do not want you to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope.
The thing that comes to mind more than anything is Grandma's faith. To the very end, it was bright and strong. She knew that no matter what happened to her body, she'd be alive in Jesus. She never doubted it. It was as true to her as it is for us to expect the sun to come up tomorrow morning. You know, I was looking through my grandma's Bible this morning and saw some verses she underlined. They're in Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul talked about all the things that couldn't separate us from the love of Jesus. He listed death first. Grandma knew that. She also underlined the verses in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says that death has been swallowed up in victory. He said it has no power. It has no sting, because Jesus conquered it on Easter morning. So, Grandma, we may cry a little.
Many of you are here to mourn the death of Mildred Kendall. But I knew her for many years, and if she could speak to us now, I have no doubt that she'd say, "Mourn me if you want. Miss me if you will. But don't feel sad for me. There's no reason to be sad about where I am. For I'm in a place now where I've traded in my old tent for a glorious new dwelling place. I'm in a place where every tear is wiped away. There's no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For God Himself is with me and is the very light of my new day."
June, Connie, Bill, at your request, we told everyone to go to the church for the reception. Reverend Rowe will accompany the casket back to New York, where Bill's sister Helen will meet them. Folks, now is the time to pay your last respects before we close the lid and place her in the hearse.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wexford.
I'll just wait in the hallway if you need anything else.
Thanks.
Well, this is it. Connie.
See you later, Grandma. I love you.
Thank you for everything, Mildred. Bill?
Okay. Mom, I know I wasn't always the son you wanted me to be, but I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, Bill.
Dad. I'm okay. I think the service moved me more than I thought it would. You two were right. It was beautiful. I just feel so bad.
It's all right, Dad.
No, you don't understand. I guess you'll find out sooner or later. April and I have split up. I can't seem to keep my marriages together.
Oh, Bill.
What makes it worse, I took off on a cruise just for the fun of it while my mother died here in Odyssey. To the end of her life, I only thought of myself. It's so selfish and meaningless. It's unforgivable.
Nothing's unforgivable, Dad. She loved you very much. Do you remember the music box?
Uh-huh.
The inscription on the bottom? You bought her the music box and she used it as a reminder to pray for you. That's why it said from Bill. And then 1 Timothy 6:17-19. I looked those verses up. They say, "Tell those who are rich in the world not to be proud and fix their hopes on temporary things like money, but put their hope in God, who provides everything for us. Teach them to do good and to be rich in well-doing, so they'll acquire a treasure for the future and have the life that is life indeed." Don't you see, Dad? She prayed that you would find the true treasure and true life. And you can. But only through Jesus Christ.
Bill, I know how you feel. You're reflecting on your life, and that can be a good thing if you come to the right conclusions. Well, for the moment, you think it's empty and meaningless. But your mother's life proved otherwise. Her faith, her joy of life, showed that there's more to life and death than what we always thought. Her joy is worth knowing and understanding. Listen to Connie. Your mother's prayers weren't in vain.
June. Connie. I can't ask her or even God to forgive me when I can't forgive myself. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mom.
Dad, please don't go.
Bill. Oh, Bill.
Do you think he's really gone, or will he go to the reception?
Oh, he's gone. And I can't help but wonder how long he'll keep running away like that. We'll send him the music box, okay?
Okay.
We should go to the church now.
Wait. Did you hear yourself, Mom?
When?
With Dad. You sounded like a Christian for a minute there.
Well, you know, I've always been sympathetic.
But being sympathetic isn't the same as believing for yourself.
That's true.
What are you thinking?
Connie, I look at your father, and it reminds me of what life is like without faith. It's awful. And here you are, a teenager, and you're able to cope better than he can, even better than I can. Now I suddenly realize that I've been right in the middle, somewhere between you and your father, sort of riding your coattails of faith, but really living like him. I don't want to do that anymore.
You know what you have to do, right?
Yes. You made that clear in the past. And maybe this is the best time. Right here with you and your grandma. I want to know Jesus the way you know him. Will you introduce me properly to him?
Mom! I'd love to.
If there's one thing that the Bible assures us about, it's that our God is the God of life. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have complete victory over the power of death. Even when we pass from this life, we go to a greater life prepared for us by God. A life, the Apostle Paul says, that we can't even begin to imagine. Do you believe that? If you do, then your life should reflect it in what you do and say. You discover the things that may seem important to you now aren't so important when compared to eternity. And you'll want to tell your friends about the love of Jesus that draws us to eternal life in Him. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Where Is Thy Sting was written and directed by Paul McCusker. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold. Music by John Campbell. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.